Well, Jackie Road is just a place where we can have some fun. Well, I'm having fun at Jackie Road, doing cool interviews and writing songs.
Hey, this is Jackie Road Studios. My name is Jack Post. Oh, my dog just barked. Luna! I won't record this again. My name is Jack Post, and this is last week's song in full. It's called Luna! Must be a delivery at the door. She hates those deliveries. Anyone else got a dog who's like, she's so chill, right? 99% of the time, she's so peaceful. I just look at her to get relaxed. So peaceful. Just chilling out. And then that doorbell rings. She goes nuts. Like, we're under attack. Like, this is it, guys. This is the moment we've been waiting for. They're here. Where the Greeks and the Romans are pushing their Trojan horse through the front gates. Or was it the other way around? Ah! All right, let's get into it. This is last week's song, in full, inspired by my chat with Hamish Blake. It's called The Work Experience Song. It's streaming now everywhere where you can stream music. And please check out on Spotify the Jackie Road Studios playlist, which I set up, which is just all the songs from the show. You can listen to them on shuffle. I don't know why I'm telling you about the features of Spotify. You can listen to them. Play. Oh, God, that dog. She's going nuts. Maybe I am in trouble. I mean, do I ever stop to think that maybe there is a true threat at the door? Imagine that. Imagine Luna actually knew there was an intruder coming to, like, kill me and Bianca. And you guys heard it right now. So I'm like, ah, shut up, Luna. And then you guys heard the door get kicked down. Can't believe I just did a machine gun sound effect with my mouth and held up the machine gun like a 12-year-old. Oh, God. It's been a long week. I'm recording this on Friday afternoon. Whew. Sorry, guys. Where were we? Ah, yes. Last week's song, inspired by my chat with Hamish Blake. Thank you for everybody who was listening to the Hamish episode. I usually start all these making of episodes with the song, so you hear the song again. Then I'll get into how I made the song. So, here we go. Third run at it. This is last week's song, in full, inspired by my chat with Hamish Blake. It's called The Work Experience Song.
Jackson Vernon, I remember in year 10, work experience week was then, but Jackson showed indifference when finding work experience. We had to get our own placement, but Jackson was too complacent, and so he ended up at Coles. Worst experience, work experience at Coles. Full time, 2 weeks, no pay. Worst experience, work experience. His manager was younger than him, and she went to our school. And Coles must have been licking their lips, thinking how sweet it is. Practically free labor, you only have to pay the work experience kids. Travel expenses, $5 a day, hardly any pay. And the real irony is Jackson already worked at IGA.
That is The Work Experience Song, inspired by my chat with Hamish Blake. And, of course, my friend Jackson Vernon from high school, who I'm still friends with, by the way. Shout out to Jackson. Don't know if he's heard that song yet. Probably should have reached out to him and said, hey, I wrote a whole song about you. I'm sure word will carry eventually and Jackson will hear it. On the interview with Hamish, when he was congratulating me on what a good job I'm doing with Jackie Road Studios, before I told him about phase two. Phase two is imminent of the podcast. When we get to 12 songs, we transition from phase one of Jackie Road Studios. We release an album and move into phase two, which I don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be a version of Jackie Road Studios that's easier for me to do. It's still going to be good, guys, though. Still listen. I was talking about that with Hamish, and he mentioned... No, I started going through, like, all the different podcasts I've started, because this is the fourth one now. Did a science podcast with my friend Matt. Did a podcast with the Essendon Football Club that sadly only lasted four episodes. Even though they loved it, the club loved it, the fans loved it. It's called Hard Tag. We just couldn't get... I don't know. There's a whole lot of restrictions. Actually, I'll tell you just in case you... People keep accusing me of not telling them enough information, like I am purposely withholding information on this podcast. The first one, I'll get into Essendon Football Club in a second. The first one is people say that I'm holding back information about why I'm not living at home. And I mentioned it again in Hamish's episode. I'm not at home. I'm in an Airbnb. I'm not... The truth is boring. It's not a secret, a juicy, scandalous secret. The truth is the Victorian government is... removing level crossings, train crossings to ease traffic. There is one near my house. We live on a rail line. They had to shut down the street to do the work that they're doing, and they put everybody in the street in an Airbnb while they do 24/7 works on the train line. Not that exciting. The Essendon Football Club, the answer to that question is sort of not exciting as well. Tom and Kale, the two players that I did the podcast with every week, made sense that they wanted to get paid as well. Like, I wasn't getting paid for doing it. I was just doing it for the love of the game. But then when they started talking about, all right, let's get this sponsored. This is the football club, right? Maybe we can get this thing sponsored. It made sense for us to get paid, right? If someone's getting a payday, little Jackie boy might as well get a payday too, right? But then it makes sense for Kale and Tom to get paid. And then there was all this weirdness about, like, oh, they can't get paid because then they're breaching the rules of the salary cap. Like, each AFL team has a certain amount of money that they're allowed to pay players. And if they pay players more than that, they're breaching salary cap rules. So I didn't want my podcast to be the reason that Essendon goes through another scandal that they did only 3 or 4 years before, dragged through the mud on the front page of the papers every day with the drugs scandal. And now they're just because I wanted to do a podcast where I talk to players, this other scandal comes up about players being secretly paid through a fake podcast and breaching the salary cap rules. This is Jack Post, calls himself a fan, but he is a dirty new Stephen Dank. Well, that's worst case scenario. Anyway, where the hell was I? Oh, yeah. I was talking about other podcasts I did. I mentioned this one that I didn't even mention by name in Hamish's episode, where we sat down and watched a whole movie and did an audio commentary for movies. This was called... I called Let It Be Bored, because everyone told me, like, do you really think people are going to listen to a podcast for, like, an hour and a half, the length of a movie? It's like, I guess not, but I don't... It doesn't make sense to do, like, an audio commentary for half a movie. So, if they get bored, just let them be bored. That's where the name came from. How revolutionary was I in 2010, or I think it was early 2011, before long-form podcasts were even cool, guys, that an hour and a half for the length of a podcast I considered too long. So, sadly... I didn't have the self-confidence that I needed to push through, and I only made 3 episodes of the podcast. And then I got this email this week from Emily Burden. Says, "Hey Jack, it's such a blast from the past to hear you mention your first podcast on today's episode. I think it was called Let Them Be Bored." Yeah, it was. "I absolutely loved that show. Every episode was so hilarious, and it was great to hear a group of super funny mates chatting in such an unstructured format. I know you'll probably never bring it back, but you definitely have me as a listener if you did. Keep up the great work, Emily." Emily, thank you. This is the email I needed almost 10 years ago to encourage me to keep going. Imagine we kept doing it. And week in, week out, I'd have like 1,000 episodes of the movie podcast now. But Emily, I didn't have you at the time. You were the guardian angel that I needed. I don't think I'll bring it back. Seems like a lot of work. And I bet there's podcasts that do this now. At the time, it was revolutionary to watch a movie. So, we watch Home Alone, say, or The Truman Show was another one. And we would do our own commentary to it, our own audio commentary. I bet, I don't know of one strictly that does that, but I bet there's plenty of podcasts that do that now. And Emily, if I bought that back now, people would be like, ah, this format's shit. We've heard this before. But you're right. In 2011, we were pioneers of it. And it was Jez, Webgeezer Jez, who works on the Hamish and Andy show. And then I would get Hamish and Andy on, Ryan Shelton, because we would record them at the production company, the TV production company, Radio Karate, that Hamish and Andy owned with their friends. And Jez and I would be on it every week, and then we'd get a rotating guest. Maybe that's the thing. I just ran out of guests. Hamish, Andy, Ryan. But I think Hamish might have been on all three of them. Can't remember. Anyway, if anybody... I don't have these episodes anymore. I looked for them. They're not streaming anymore. If anybody downloaded the three existing episodes of the Let Them Be Bored podcast from 2011, please come forward. I would love... Well, I would be scared to hear them again, but I would love to know that they existed in some way. They're not on my computer. They're not on the internet. There's some clips on YouTube that I didn't put up. So, someone, there was at least one fan who existed back then. There's clips on YouTube that people put up, but is the full hour and a half plus episodes out there? Let Them Be Bored. If there is, JackieRoadStudios@gmail.com. You'll definitely earn yourself a raffle ticket if you come to the rescue with those episodes. Just having a drink. Let's get into how I made this week's song.
How did he make it? How did he make it? How did he make it? Oh, he's gonna tell you.
This song has a sick guitar solo. It's not usually where I start, just jump into a point of the song and say, hey, the end product's perfect. But massive shout out to one of the listeners of the show this week named Adam Heath, who contacted me, JackieRoadStudios@gmail.com. If you are a muso and like want to get involved on the show, I'm super happy for anybody to reach out, and I'll try and use them in a song where I can. I'm now building up like a little bank of people who... you know, play different instruments or have different skills in mixing and audio. And when I need something that I can't do myself, and this is definitely an example of that, then I can reach out. And I did with Adam on Saturday afternoon. So the song's dropping, you know, Sunday night at midnight, Monday morning. And on Saturday afternoon, I reached out to Adam and said, hey, do you think you can give me a solo over the front of this song? So this is the start of my song this week. I was really going for a NoFX, Friends of Rom type vibe. And having that big solo at the front end is inspired by this song by NoFX called Please Play This Song on the Radio that front loads the guitar solo. So, I sent that to Adam and I said, hey, this is the feel I want for the guitar solo. I sent him the chords. At that stage, the chords before the mix and everything sounds like this. And he popped his big guitar solo over the top of it. So, So that's where the song starts with a real kick this week. My favorite intro of all the songs we've done on Jackie Road Studios so far, and a lot of thanks to Adam Heath. You can find him on his Instagram. It's cool. He's got heaps of clips of him playing guitar. Adam.j.heath, and he is a session musician in Melbourne if anybody's looking for a sick guitarist on one of their songs. That's just so awesome. So I wanted to start there just because I love that start so much, but let me take you back to where I first chucked something into voice notes. And so this actually became pretty much what the intro is. I did this Monday last 2 weeks ago. So a whole week, I mean, Jackie's working in ahead of time for once, a whole week before the episode's out is where I got the first idea for this song. Although that clip is from Monday, is without any lyrics. And then it wasn't until Thursday that I started putting lyrics on. So I must have given myself a huge pat on the back on Monday, and then by Thursday gone, uh-oh, got to get back on that song. This is Thursday.
When in high school I had a friend, his name was Jackson Burnham. I remember in your town, work experience week was then.
So this first verse pretty much is exactly what came up on the song, but then I go into a chorus that I didn't use. So I'm just mumbling my way through that, what I thought might be the chords and melody for the chorus, but it didn't eventuate. And then it became something. I went through a few iterations, this song, actually, through Thursday night and Friday after I got home from the radio station. Oh, that's right. Because so I'm trying to amalgamate a whole bunch of ideas I've got for the song and lyrics into what it would become. So like I've got my clay and I'm trying to mold it into a human or whatever I'm making. And I messaged Kai at this stage. Kai is an awesome drummer who's drummed on a bunch of the songs already, especially these type of songs that like the punk rock type songs. And I just completely forgot to even ask him if he could drum on the song this week. So I sent him a text on Friday and said, "Hey, Kai, are you around this weekend if I give you something late today or tomorrow morning?" And he's like, "Man, I'm out this weekend." He's up in Newcastle, so he's got freedom of movement that we don't have here in Melbourne. And he said, "I'm going away this weekend. I'm only in the studio for an hour more. If you send me something in the next half hour, I can give you some drums." That's how good he is. Like literally in half an hour, he's going to hear the song for the first time and drum, put all the drums down to it. But I didn't have anything to send him. I only had that first verse. So he said, "Just send me, if you got a tempo and a feel for what you want with the song, just play that. I'll lay down some drums, more than you need, and maybe you can chop it up and copy and paste and use it." So this is what I end up sending him. I just Googled 180 BPM on YouTube and tried to play the intro and then just play through as a whole song. So I'm not even strumming the chords, just playing literally one chord as it changes. And I gave him almost just under 2 minutes of that. So a minute 40 of guitar like that, which I knew. So I had a semi-structure for the song, but I didn't really have a chorus yet. I didn't really have a second verse. So all I gave him was that structure, and he came back with this. So straight away, I'm like, yeah, this is exactly the sound I want. You know, with the guitars in there.
When in high school, I had a friend who-
So Well, Kai really kicked me into gear this weekend because he put down that minute 40 of drums with the idea that I could copy and paste it. And, you know, if I needed another verse, just copy and paste the verse part. I was like, no, this is perfect. I'm only going to make the song this minute 40 of drums. The drums he gave me, I'm going to use that. That's going to be my limitations this week. Well, not even this in the next 24 hours when I have to finish the song. I got excited by that because the bands I was trying to mimic, like that sound of NoFX and Friends of Rom, they always have on their albums these shorter songs that are less than 2 minutes long. So I thought, oh, well, my album needs a song like this.
When in high school I had a friend, his name was Jackson Vernon. I remembering it, him. Work experience week was then.
So as I'll go through the song with you, I'll show you a couple of little things. This vocal on its own.
When in high school I had a friend, his name was Jackson Vernon.
And then on the end of some parts, I'll double up the vocal.
Work experience week was then. But
so I don't know if you can hear in that line, work experience week was then. That's a double of me just singing the same thing twice.
I remember in year 10, work experience week was then, but Jackson showed in dip.
And if you've listened to other episodes, if this is the first time you've listened to the making of episode, I have to put my hand up in surrender and say I am not a skillful creator of music and know all the tricks. I'm just trying to learn as I go. And one of the things I do know that is popular to do is to double up your vocals, and it just makes them sound thicker and jump out in spots that you want them to jump out.
I remember in year 10, work experience week was then, but.
And then when you hear it in the mix.
I remember in year 10, work experience week was then, but Jackson.
It actually even becomes hard to hear, but there's something about it that sounds fuller than the other part of the vocal.
When finding work experience, we had to get our own placement, but Jackson was too complacent. And so he ended up at Coles.
Cool, so just through that verse, I'll show you what the guitars are doing. So literally just strumming on the chord changes pretty much. At first it was coming out just the left side. And then in the second half of the verse,
Jackson showed indifference.
Coming out both sides. And that paired with the bass. So even though the strums on a guitar is kind of simple, obviously on its own doesn't sound fast paced, but you put in the drums and bass. Especially because this bass is so tough. That sounds like such a lame way to say tough. Exactly how a non-tough person would say it. The bass has got a lot of distortion and kick in it.
I remember in year 10, work experience week was then, but Jackson showed indifference when finding work experience. We had to get.
Our strumming guitar comes back in. The music is pretty simple and pretty straightforward throughout. That fast-paced punk rock sound, the guitar slowing down in the verse is the only real bit of difference, because then this distorted guitar takes over for the rest of the song. And I guess you would call, even though it doesn't repeat on itself, this section is the chorus.
Worst experience, work experience, calls full time.
So, worst experience, work experience at Coles is that line.
Worst experience, work experience at Coles.
What I was going for with the sound of that work experience was a song called Bull Chef by Friends of Rom, where they sing Bull Chef. That line, Bull Chef. Did I pull it off? I don't know if I did.
Worst experience, work experience, it calls full time, 2 weeks, no pay. Worst experience, work experience, his manager was younger than him, and she went to our school. And Coles must have been licking their lips.
Cool. So then it goes, we pretty much go verse one, chorus, into this weird outro that's not a chorus or a verse. Sounds like this.
And Coles must have been licking their lips, thinking how sweet it is. Practically free labor, you only have to pay the work experience, kids, travel expenses, $5 a day.
Cool. All I would say about that section is have a listen to, again, because Kai did the drums before I properly had the sections of the song, there's this little part here where you would say it's like the end of a verse or the end of a bridge or something back into the chorus. I know there must have been something there that I gave him, like a reason why he's done that. So because he's done that part before I even had properly written the song, it kind of just falls in the middle of a lyric, but I like where it is. It's an odd spot to put it, but I like it. Have a listen out for it in the third line.
And Coles must have been licking their lips, thinking how sweet it is, practically free labor. You are-
and that under that, underneath that practically.
Thinking how sweet it is, practically free labor.
And just the drums. And I think that's a cool example of something I never would have written into the song. I wouldn't never made a clear choice to put that there. But because Kai had drummed like that, it sort of forced me to play, you know, put a stop in the guitar, which you'll hear here.
Thinking how sweet it is, practically free labor.
But it kind of happens in the middle of a verse, not at the end of a chorus or at the end of a bridge or something where it would usually sit. Then there's another version of that is, I guess I would have, you can hear I stopped the guitars here. But the drums keep going. And again, I would have usually stopped there and the drums stop and then pick up. But because Kai had already done the drums, I just kept them where they are. So listen for where the guitars stop, but the drums keep going. You know, usually the drums would stop, I guess, in a moment like that, stop together, but they don't, and that again is a product of Kai drumming without the finished track. And half of the intro to finish us off with those with that last bar. And there I have my first ever short song on the album, coming in at, what is the official time of this? A minute 49. Love it.
It's time to read your emails. Read your emails.
Read. Thank you to everybody who sent emails in to jackierodestudios@gmail.com this week. Hey, the work experience topic really blew up my inbox this week. Thank you to everybody who got involved on it. I guess it is a universal feeling. Literally, emails coming in from across the world of what you expected your work experience to be and the reality of the shitness that it was. So thank you. I'm sorry I don't have time to get to all the work experience emails this week, but we'll sift through, we'll see how many I can get through, starting with Janelle Mitchell. Hey, Jack, when I was 16, I did work experience at an insurance agency. Every morning, I would go to the post office, collect the mail, bring it back to the office, open the letters using a fancy letter opener, and then place the letters on the rightful owner's desk before they came in. I had no idea why I had to open them. It's not hard to open your own letters, right? Yeah, good point, Janelle. One day, the office manager mentions that I opened a letter marked confidential and told me not to open confidential letters, but to leave them unopened on the desk instead. I apologized and told her that I'll do that. Well, I didn't. I kept accidentally opening confidential letters and not wanting to get into trouble. I just popped them in the shredder instead. Yes, total 16-year-old dumb behavior. I would have done exactly the same. She said, my other main task was sending out brochures and letters telling people their insurance was due to be renewed. It was a simple task of printing letters, grabbing the correlating PDF, and folding it up and placing it in an envelope. But sometimes the letters were really thick, so I'd have to fold them a few times before they'd fit. And by the time I did that, they looked so shit that I would just throw them out instead of mailing them off. Back in the shredder round two. I was without a doubt more of a hindrance than I was a help, but they seemed to like me and they offered me another 2 weeks at the office after my first 2 weeks, which I declined. I guess I got out of there before they realized that 2 weeks of mail went missing. Janelle, that is perfect 16-year-old behavior. Wouldn't expect any less. Completely panic, be anxious about something that doesn't matter at all and make the situation completely worse than it had to be. The next email comes in from Pete Brown. He says, dear Mr. Rhodes Studio, he says, living in Cairns and interested in studying zoology, I got my work experience at a local crocodile farm. As well as putting shows on for tourists, the farm supplied meat and skins for commercial use. They had huge water tanks where the crocodiles were raised. One of my supervisors took me to go and get one of the juvenile crocodiles to replace the one currently being used for the tourists to hold in photos. Opening the door to the water tank, there must have been close to 100 crocs inside, all about a meter long, covering the whole floor. God, that's something of nightmares. The supervisor said, grab us one, will you, mate? So without hesitation, I grabbed one of the creatures by the tail and snout and presented it to him. He said, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? He said at the sight of a skinny 15-year-old holding an unbound reptile. You told me to grab one, I replied. I've told hundreds of kids to grab one. No one has ever done it before, he said in shock. Please don't tell anyone you did that. I'll lose my job. Pete says that was back in the 90s. Hopefully, he kept his job. Simon Hales says, back in 2013, I was studying graphic design at uni. All right, so this is a university one, not a high school one, but we'll accept it. Simon says, I wanted to get my foot in the door, so I managed to get work experience and internship as a graphic designer at a smaller university in Brisbane. It definitely wasn't what I expected. The PC they had me use was incredibly old, and only the manager could log onto it for me. So if I arrived and she was in a meeting, or if I went out to lunch and it locked itself, I'd have to wait, sometimes over an hour, until she came back to log me in. Then the initial task they assigned me was just to download random stock photos, as they had a subscription to a stock website that allowed them to download up to 15 images a day. Up to 15 images a day for free. So I'd be spending the first part of my morning downloading random photos that I thought they might want to use in the future. Definitely not developing my skills there. Another task they gave me was to update some of the font colours in their university magazine. The problem was, the PC I was using was complete shithouse, and the InDesign file was over 1 gigabyte in size. So they just... So when I opened them, they could take up to 10 minutes to load, and then every time I clicked or interacted with the program, it would freeze and take up to 30 seconds to complete. But the final straw was when they tasked me with photoshopping out the wrinkles of a photo of the university's founder. So, having had enough after a few weeks, I left a note on my desk explaining I was going overseas and wouldn't be able to continue work experience. Left for lunch and never returned. Oh, Simon, I love that exit. Oh, God, we got to do something on the show about how quickly you exited a job, or like you just decided, yep, I'm out, and then bang, you're gone. A friend of mine, when we were young, like straight out of high school, 18, 19, she got a job at Boost Juice, and she wore black shorts, and I guess they're only allowed to wear black pants. She rocked up to her first day of the job, and the manager goes, oh, Haley, nah, you're not allowed to wear shorts. Can you go home and change into black pants? And she went home and never went back. We have to do something about shortest time you spend at a job or quick exits like yours, Simon. Simon, Pete, Janelle, you'll get tickets for the world's fastest guitar. By the way, you've got to... To get a raffle ticket for the Yamaha, you can't just ride in. People riding in this week just saying, yeah, give me a raffle ticket for the Yamaha. You guys, you got to get read out on the show. Or a cheat code, and I'll only let you guys in on this. If you rate and review the podcast on iTunes, and it should be, the rule should be positively. You rate and review it positively. But if you just rate and review it at all, send me an email, jackieroadstudios@gmail.com. Put a screenshot of your review, and I'll put you in for a raffle ticket. But otherwise, you've got to get rid out. Like Kynan does here. The other thing I was talking about on Hamish's episode was homemade gifts. Hope everybody's seen now the photo of the NoFX hoodie that Hamish made me several years ago for Kris Kringle. So I was asking, what are some homemade gifts you've made? Kynan says, I made a cracker of a homemade gift last Christmas, so much so that it even surprised me. I had a broken down phone, and in my ever going quest to find useless things to do in order to procrastinate, I decided to take it apart. Well, taking it apart was apparently not time consuming enough, so I went ahead and framed it. It turned out wonderful, but I had no use for it. So, despite it being August, I thought I may as well take care of Christmas shopping for my mum. So I wrapped it and hid it in my closet for months. She loved it so much, it now sits in her closet. Kynan Lowe, thank you for that email. He's actually attached a photo. It's actually really cool, man. It's an iPhone with all the parts separated, and then he's framed it in like a clear glass so that each part is like, it's really perfectly spaced apart. It looks super cool, Kynan. What it doesn't look super cool for is a gift for somebody's mum. There's not a mum in the world who would think this gift is cool and would want to hang it on their wall. But, Kynan, there's a lot of Apple nerds out there who would really love your gift. So, your mum should, if it's gathering dust in your closet, get it out and give it to somebody who wants it. But, I totally respect the move of going, what do I have already and how can I make this a gift and shoehorning it in? All the gifts I used to do... I got my sister 1 year. My sister's 8 years younger than me. When I was 15, 16, I loved Arrested Development. I got my sister the DVD box set of Arrested Development. She would have been 8 years old. Kynan, you get yourself a raffle ticket. Juliet gets herself a raffle ticket. She goes, one Christmas when I was a kid, and my older sister really wanted a guitar, so I decided to Google homemade guitars, and I found a WikiHow article which showed me how to make a guitar out of an ice cream container and 6 rubber bands. At this point in my life, I clearly didn't have any understanding of music theory or guitars, but I decided it looked great. I made one, wrapped it, and feeling pretty confident, put it under the Christmas tree. Julia, this is a sick gift. I love gifts that are... Like, sometimes homemade gifts are better than the real thing. She says, unfortunately, when it came to Christmas Day, I was massively overshadowed by Santa, who had bought her a real full-size guitar with features like a neck, frets, and the ability to be tuned. All of which my guitar, unfortunately, lacked. My present was quite promptly forgotten about and most likely disposed of the same day. Oh, Juliet, that finishes heartbreaking. That's really sad. I like the ice cream container guitar. The first guitar I got was like, I asked my mum, my next door neighbor had this similar to that, like a plastic crappy pretend guitar toy that you would get out of a show bag, right? So I asked my mum, like, oh, I really want one of these crappy toy guitars. I used to be such a sucker for the dumb shit that came out of show bags. You wouldn't believe those inflatable hammers and baseball bats, oversized inflatable hammers. That is me as a kid. That was like the best possible thing I could ever think of owning. far out. I love those things. And I hate, like, you would get their show bags with all the dumb, chewy shit in them, like milk chews and red skins, all the stuff that stuck in your teeth and tasted like shit. But, man, I used to go nuts for the show, and especially those inflatables and dumb toys like a plastic guitar. Anyway, my mum, which is, this is crazy as well, because when I was a kid, we had no extra money lying around for, like, additional stuff outside of bills and paying, you know, for the food we ate and that sort of thing. So I asked mum for one of these plastic dumb guitars, and mum came back with a real guitar. It was the first real guitar we ever owned. Me and my brother, this nylon string acoustic guitar. It would have been pretty cheap, but at the time it was like, wow, mum, you know, bought us a real guitar. But me, being a smart-ass kid, refused to get lessons. So I spent, honestly, the first 4 years playing that thing, not understanding the idea that to play a guitar, you have to put your fingers on the frets to make different sounds. Like, just like strumming. I've got my guitar here. Literally just strumming up and down like this. Like,
I hope you've had the time of your life.
But it turned into a good thing. We don't have that guitar anymore, but it did open. Eventually, when I started to realize that it took some technique to play the guitar, I started to pick it up and teach it myself. And then I did get, my cousin was a great guitarist, and he taught me a lot. He gave my brother and I lessons for ages when I was like 15 and into all the punk bands I was in. And my cousin was like a jazz guitarist, always trying to teach me jazz standards. And I was like, I just want to learn Millencolin, man. All right. Thank you to everybody who sent in an email this week. Everybody gets a ticket for, well, the world's fastest guitar. The guitar will be drawn at the end of the year, or even at the end of November, as we come to the end of phase one of the podcast. As I mentioned in Hamish's episode, there will be a phase two of Jackie Road Studios. Don't know exactly what phase two is looking like yet, but mark my words, Jackie Road Studios will continue. Sorry, I got something in my throat. Thank you for listening to the episode.
Well, Jackie Road, it is now closed until the next episode. So here's an outro for Jackie's show, so Andrew knows that it's the end of the podcast.
Jackie Road Studios is a way of life.